And we're back here on the show that shakes the Southland. John Rawl is my name. Jump in, climb in, dive in. We've got hours worth of Southern conversation headed your way. This is the Y'all Show, powered by the South's homepage, y'all.com. Hope y'all are doing great. We got a busy, busy show with lots of information and entertainment headed your way on Y'all on this Tuesday, 1 week away from Spooky Day 2023. Have you got your costume? Perhaps you're like me and you wear your costume year-round, okay? It's okay if you're in the same category as yours truly. Sometimes people enjoy seeing scary things like, you know, like me, like I am right now. But hey, you don't have to look at me because we're coming to you on great radio stations. We're also coming to you in podcast form across the Southeast. If you have a chance to listen to the Y'all Show on our podcast option, that gives you the option, lots of options on podcasts. It gives you the option of listening on your own schedule. You can tune us in while you're out doing grocery shopping, or perhaps you're on your morning walk or afternoon run. You can listen to us while you're on the golf course. Heck, we might even help you improve your strokes. We are a great option for any kind of thing you need to do to kill time. Maybe go down the road. I have a lot of people tell me, hey, I like listening to your show when I'm having to make that 2 and 3 hour drive every couple of days. Well, thank you for that. We'll take that as a compliment. And the way you can listen to the Y'all Show podcast, you can find us at y'all.com right there on the homepage. Look for the Y'all Show in a big bright red tab. Click on that, and there we are with all of our archives of Y'all shows that we've been doing for 5 years now. We also are available on Spotify. We're on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, Apple iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All of those different ways are really easy, convenient ways for you to keep up with what's going on across Dixie each and every day that we gather for the show about the Southeast, the Y'all Show. And we encourage you to join us here in all of our different ways. You can email us. M-A-I-L is one way to reach out. We check our email inbox constantly. And then we have our text line that's open 24/7. You can pick up your phone and text us. 615-208-4184, 615-208-4184. That's another way to get us as we cover all things Southern. On this Y'all Show Tuesday edition, we got headlines coming in from across the Southeast today. Scary situation in Louisiana, and now it looks like at least 7 people killed on an interstate crash due to fog around Alexandria in Louisiana. And we'll give you the update on that after a deadly Monday crash in a foggy situation there in Louisiana. We'll give you all of that information. Also, we've got in our headlines coming across the Southeast today, an update on that story from Middle Tennessee where the 2 police officers were shot by the son of Nashville's police chief. And one of those officers shot has made a Facebook post about being shot by the Metro police chief's son. And I'll give you that information coming out of Middle Tennessee today. Also, we've got information on a Tennessee-based business that unfortunately is losing one of its locations in Knoxville. And this is a Tennessee business that has had locations scattered throughout the state for many, many years. And we're pulling for you, Backyard Burgers. I'm going to give you a lot more info on this company that got its start in Cleveland, Mississippi back in the day. And we'll fill you in on just what's going on with them. And also, hopefully, if you haven't been to a Backyard Burger, you can go check one out soon, because this is a franchise evidently struggling as they've closed many locations over the last few years. But they're from the South, and so we're rooting for you, BYB. But unfortunately, a location in Knoxville has just closed, and I'll spend some time telling you more about this company. Also in our headlines today, speaking of Tennessee, a lot of Tennessee business stories today. Geodis Park is where Shania Twain recently performed. And that is the soccer stadium that Nashville has down at the old fairgrounds. Well, Shania Twain had a concert there, and now there's over $350,000 in damages at the home of the Nashville Soccer Club. we'll give you exactly what in the world happened. Is Shania Twain at fault? I didn't realize Shania Twain fans were hellraisers. Evidently so. That information is coming up as we go through our headlines today. Plus, on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., perhaps they're going to close up shop today with a new House Speaker. They're meeting, and perhaps a vote will come at some point today, and we'll get through these last few weeks of not having a House Speaker. I think someone told me the other day that the longest the U.S. House had ever gone without a speaker was 2 days, and now we're at least, what, 3 weeks since Kevin McCarthy was shown the door? So we've got all that political news coming. Speaking of political news, we have a Southern political report coming up later this hour. And we're going to go to Real Clear Politics and check out the latest polling. President Trump was in New Hampshire on Monday, and he actually went in and officially filed his paperwork. And I remember back in 2015, I remember him going into that little tiny office in New Hampshire and doing all the stuff that they make you do. I think in New Hampshire, it's required for you to show up in person and file. And Trump did that. He also ended up having a rally while he was in New Hampshire. I'm going to try to pull the audio because Trump brought in the name Jesus Christ into his very brief meeting with the media while filing his paperwork to run for president and be on the ballot in the state of New Hampshire. So we'll try to find that clip and let you hear how Trump invoked Jesus' name into this discussion. Maybe only in a way Trump could do that. And it had to do with this whole House Speaker issue going on in Washington, D.C. So we'll have that coming up in our Southern Political Report and some other political shakings and goings on this Tuesday, y'all. So that's here for this hour one. Hour two today, in addition to more headlines coming in across the Southeast, we're going to tell you about the Southern books and what's out there selling right now. And we're going to let you get introduced, if you're not, to Michael Lewis. He is the New Orleans-based writer, grew up in New Orleans. You know him from his books like The Blind Side. Well, he's got a new book out called Going Infinite. And it's about the guy with that FTX company, the Freed fella, Bankman-Fried maybe is his name, Sam Bankman-Fried, does that sound right? I haven't really kept up with this story, but evidently Michael Lewis has kept up with this, and he has penned a new book called Going Infinite. It's in the top five bestsellers on the New York Times bestsellers list. We'll go through all of the hot-selling books right now, but we will find an audio clip of Lewis talking about Going Infinite, and that's coming up here, and we credit the Washington Post as they're the ones who sat down recently with Lewis, and we'll get that clip coming your way. Also in this second hour of today's Y'all Show, we've got entertainment headlines coming in, and within the entertainment stories of today, we're going to tell you about some popular Halloween costumes out there around the country right now, and this lady needs no costume, although I bet you a lot of little girls might dress like her for Halloween 2023. No, they're not going to dress like Barbie. I bet you there's some kids out there that are going to dress like Lainey Wilson. And Lainey has just announced her tour for 2024. Is she coming to your town? She's going to be headlining the Lainey Wilson tour of 2024. So we'll give you all of that great information in our entertainment report in our second hour today. And in our final hour of the Y'all Show for this Tuesday, we've got more headlines to throw out to you. The Takapola Storyteller is going to come right back here and have a good conversation with us. And I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag about what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to bring up to Jerry the subject of walnuts, because my home has been inundated with walnuts for the first time in my recollection. And I'm a guy that grew up in a non-walnut environment, okay? I'm more from a pine tree environment, okay? And so I'm used to pine cones coming down nonstop. I'm not used to walnuts. And what really threw me off is, if you're a Yankee like I must be and not familiar with walnuts, I didn't realize when they come off the tree, they look like an apple. I had no idea. So we're going to talk to Jerry about that. He knows a lot about trees, and he knows a lot about life. So we're going to have walnut talk in a big way. All the things that you've ever wanted to know about walnuts coming up in our final hour with the Takapola Storyteller. You know, a lot of crazy things are falling off of trees this day. You know, a lot of crazy things are just falling in our lap these days. So we'll have that discussion in hour three. Also, we've got a southern recipe of the day. You know, that would be the perfect segue to have some kind of walnut-related story right there. But actually, Jerry and I think we're going to talk about more than walnuts. So in honor of Halloween and in honor of October now, we've got a great little recipe coming to us from tasteofhome.com that we'll share with you in hour three. It's a pumpkin batch biscuit recipe. Yummy! And it's coming your way in our final hour of today's Y'all Show. That's what we call in the biz a pretty exciting show, don't you think? I think so. Let's dive into today's headlines, and we start off with that horrible story out of Louisiana from Monday, and unfortunately from the Pelican State. Seven people have died in what they call a super fog pileup, and this happened on Interstate 55, as at least seven people were killed and 25 others hurt in a crash involving a total of 158 vehicles, again, on Interstate 55. Interstate 55, if you're not familiar with this stretch of highway, it is a stretch that goes basically from just north, I guess it would be northwest of Louisiana, of New Orleans, but then it heads toward Hammond, and then it heads up to the Mississippi state line, and it connects in with Mississippi around Macomb, Mississippi. It goes right past Kentwood, home of Britney Spears, is where you'll find Interstate 55. And this super fog pileup has left not only seven people dead, but 25 people injured in this crash, again, that involved 158 vehicles Monday. And it was due to heavy fog conditions, according to Louisiana State Police. It created an 11-mile backup. Horrible, horrible scene on this 24-mile-long I-55 stretch near New Orleans. And this stretch is going to be closed, according to Louisiana State Police, for the foreseeable future. And it's just an unfortunate thing there. And what looks like going to be northwest of New Orleans. This is, I guess this happened in a section between New Orleans and Hammond, because I was just on this stretch of I-55 a couple of months ago, and I don't remember seeing the bridge that I'm seeing here where a lot of these cars had this big pileup. And so it must be south of that area. Governor John Bel Edwards of Louisiana, who grew up not far from I-55, near Tangahoe Parish is where he's from, or the parish next to it. He's right there on that same area on the Mississippi-Louisiana line. And Governor John Bel Edwards with a statement that says, "Please join me and Donna in praying for those hurt and killed in today's tragic I-55 crash, as well as their families. The combination of wildfire smoke and dense fog is dangerous, and I want to encourage all Louisianans in affected areas to take extreme caution when traveling. I also want to thank the first responders and medical personnel who have worked so diligent to save lives and render aid. The best way you can help them, besides exercising caution on the road, is to donate blood at your local blood donation center. It will help replenish supplies that are being drained today to care for the wounded." That from the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards. A complete horrible story from Interstate 55 from Monday. Our thoughts out there to those who lost their lives. And again, if you're traveling Interstate 55, I need to pull up where is my phone when I need it? My little travel app. I was going to confirm exactly where this was. I'll have to do it for hour number two today, tell you what exact communities this must be near. It's got to be near Tangipahoa, the actual town where the Strawberry Festival and all that is held each year. We'll keep that story posted and updated for you, but a real unfortunate highway crash from Monday. Be advised of fog and be advised, as Governor Edwards was saying in that statement there, of this these smoke clouds, evidently, that are affecting portions of Louisiana. I'm not sure if that's caused by – I don't think it's caused by the Canadian wildfires. They've had their own unfortunate story with wildfires this year in southwest Louisiana. Perhaps that is where that came from, to combine with the fog on Monday. An update out of Middle Tennessee. An officer with the Laverne, Tennessee Police Department posted for the first time regarding her condition after she and another officer were shot in Laverne on Saturday outside a Dollar General, and she was shot by the son of the Metro Nashville Police Chief. And John Drake Jr., the estranged son of Metro Police Chief John Drake, is accused of shooting the two Laverne police officers. And he's on the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation's most wanted list. As of right now, he's still out on the run. As this shooting happened on Saturday at the Dollar General off Stones River Road, and police responded there after a license plate reader picked up a stolen car, Officer Ashley Bolajack and Officer Gregory Kern were shot and hospitalized. Thank God, both have now been released. I know on our show Monday, we told you that one of the officers was already out of the hospital, but thankfully, both officers now out of the hospital. Now, on Monday, Officer Ashley Bolajack of the Laverne, Tennessee Police Department put out on a social media post, "Hey, everyone, I'm recovering, hard responding back to all the calls and messages right now. I truly appreciate all the love and support from each of you. God was watching out for me and my partner's life. I'm still in shock, honestly, but blessed to see another day." The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation said they are chasing all leads and have no specifics regarding where Drake Jr. might be. He was last seen wearing a black T-shirt with a white hockey mask on the front. That ought to stand out when you're looking for him. A look into his past history from the Davidson County Criminal Court clerk revealed that Drake Jr. had been charged 59 times since back in 2005. He's also a registered sex offender, and he has violated that three different times. And this is the son of Nashville's police chief. TBI asked the public to look out for Drake Jr. I think he's 38 years old, I think. And they believe him to be armed and dangerous, TBI does. The Laverne Police Department, when asked for body camera video and the 911 call, evidently this department said they don't have body cameras, and a 911 request denied. How in the world could any police force in today's world not have body cameras? Is it that expensive? I watch stuff all the time from little small sheriff's departments everywhere, and they've got body cameras. I'm surprised Tennessee doesn't have a law requiring body cameras, especially by – I know Laverne's not Nashville. I know they're not Murfreesboro, but heck, they've been in the news more than the Murfreesboro and Nashville police departments because of their little sexual ring going on there about a year ago. So we wish them the best in this tough story, but thank God a positive out of this, that the officers now both out of the hospital and recovering. We wish them the best. We've got more headlines coming right up here on the Y'all Show, and an update from Texas. We got a team headed to the World Series out of the Lone Star State. Well, we had that last year. They actually won the World Series, but it's a different team this time around. We'll tell you all about it when the Y'all Show comes back.
Rain dripping off the brim of my hat. Sure is cold today. Here I am walking down 66. Wish she hadn't done me that way. Sleeping under a table in a roadside park. A man could wake up dead. But it sure seems warmer
than it did, sleeping in our king-sized bed. Is anybody going to San Antonio or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I've ever known her. Wind whipping down the neck of my shirt like I ain't got nothing on. But I'd rather fight the wind and rain than what I've been fighting at home. Yonder comes a truck with the U.S. mail, people writing letters back home. Tomorrow she'll probably want me back, but I'll still be just as gone. Is anybody going to San Antonio or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I've ever known her.
Well, the kid from Sledge is shining down from heaven with a big smile today. Charlie Pride there, and is anybody going to San Antonio? And why is Mr. Pride looking down with a big smile? Well, first of all, he was a big baseball guy, played for the Memphis Red Sox of the Negro Leagues back in the day, the minor leagues in Negro League baseball. Charlie was a big baseball guy, used to go to spring training with Mr. Cub himself, Ernie Banks, for a long time. Charlie lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He would go to Texas Rangers training, and I guess he would just go to practices. He was almost part of the Rangers organization. In fact, I think it was his last public appearance. Charlie Pride actually sang the national anthem when the Rangers opened up their brand new ballpark in 2020, Globe Life Field. I guess it may not have opened until 2021 because of COVID. I'm not exactly sure, but it might have been 2020. Baseball delayed their start that year until like sometime in the summertime when they opened that up. And they had that brand new Globe Life Field, and Charlie Pride sang the national anthem, the first person to ever sing the national anthem at Globe Life Field. Charlie would die just a few months later of COVID. But what a voice. What a legacy from Charlie Pride, Sledge, Mississippi's own. And what a great song that one was. Is anybody going to San Antonio? Now back to Texas Rangers talk. Kudos to the Rangers. They're heading back to the World Series. They captured the American League pennant on Monday, knocking off their arch rival, the Houston Astros. And for the first time since the 2010 and 2011 seasons, DFW's baseball team is going to chase glory and the World Series trophy as they're representing the American League after they destroyed the Rangers on Monday in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. So kudos to all of the Astros, Astros fans, you've had a heck of a run. The Astros are the defending World Series champions, so you can't feel too bad for Astros fans. But this is the Rangers' time to shine, and we want to say thank you, Charlie Pride, for your many years of supporting this local team, and the local team with an 11-4 victory in Game 7 on the road in Houston, by the way, as Adolis Garcia helped power this team. He homered twice and drove in 5 runs, and they got to the World Series for the first time in 12 years with this victory over the Houston Astros. Texas now awaits the winner of the Arizona Diamondback Philadelphia Phillies series, which Game 7 for that in the National League is on this Tuesday evening. So we'll have the World Series all set up, but some big news from Texas with the Rangers heading back to the World Series. They have never won the World Series. Perhaps this is their lucky year if you're a Rangers fan. And I'm an idiot. One time I've never lived in Texas. I've never lived in a state that bordered Texas. But because of my y'all work one time, they actually gave me a whole season ticket coupon deal. Really nice. I think we ran an ad for the Rangers and Y'all magazine. And so they decided to give me two season tickets back in the old ballpark. Not the old ballpark, the one they had before Globe Life. I guess it had been the ballpark at Arlington. And you know what? I never went out there and saw a game. The only time those tickets got used was my buddy went and saw the Rangers play the New York Yankees in a series, which is the top drawing deal that they have each year. And the crazy thing is, the tickets the Rangers sent me included a parking pass. I should have moved to Dallas. You know, the Braves never have done anything quite that nice for me. And I put up with the Braves back in the Bob Horner years, for God's sakes, and the Chris Chambliss years, and the Gene Garber years, and the Bruce Benedict years. Yeah, I'm going to keep on rattling off these loser Braves, but they're my Braves. They never gave me tickets, and the Rangers did. So I'm glad my buddy got to go see them. I didn't. Of course, he also lived in Dallas-Fort Worth. I didn't. But anyway, congratulations, Rangers fans out there. Wear that red, white, and blue with pride. You're back in the World Series. Of course, this franchise came from Washington. They were the Senators, the reincarnation of the Senators. The Senators, which got started back up after the original Senators moved on to Minneapolis and became the Twins. And then this franchise moved on to Texas in 1972. Congratulations, Rangers fans, on your American League title. Perhaps we'll know who you're going to play in just a few hours, all right? Other headlines across the Southeast today. Oddly enough, one time when I went to I have been to a Rangers game, but it was a long time ago. But what I remember distinctly, the same day that I went to a Rangers game was also a day that I was with someone who lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they were bragging to me because they had just gotten the standalone Chick-fil-A's, and we went to a Chick-fil-A just hours before we went to this Rangers St. Louis Cardinals preseason thing, okay? Spring training there at the old ballpark. And so a connection there between Chick-fil-A and Texas. I don't know why, it just came to my head. But a Florida woman has now filed a lawsuit against a Brooksville, Florida Chick-fil-A location over what she calls a black chicken nugget meat situation. Shatera Sharp is from Orlando. She said she went to the Chick-fil-A on Cortez Boulevard in Brooksville. That's just to the north of Tampa. This goes way back to January 8th of 2020. And Shatera says she purchased chicken nuggets, and the lawsuit has been filed against Holland Hospitality. I guess that's who operates this Chick-fil-A location. According to the lawsuit, as Sharp was consuming the chicken nuggets purchased, she found the meat of the nuggets was black in color. And she's accusing the restaurants of negligence. She claims the restaurant didn't make sure the food was, quote, fit for human consumption, that they didn't supervise employees preparing food and failed to otherwise prevent said incident from occurring. She supposedly became violently ill after eating the nuggets and underwent great pain and suffering for some time. She's seeking more than $50,000 in damages plus court costs. I'm surprised it's not more than that. Neither Chick-fil-A nor the law firm representing Sharp responded to a Tampa area TV station's request for comment. But I don't think they're going to add that to the menu beside their pimento chicken sandwich offered at Chick-fil-A these days. I don't think they're going to offer black chicken nuggets, okay? I don't think they want to have black chicken meat served. Why, lady, if you noticed that the meat was black, why did you eat it? I'm not saying Chick-fil-A is not at fault here, but come on, Shatera. That's not very sharp. That's her last name, FYI. Speaking of food, Southern Living says that these Alabama foods are some of the best gifts that you can give this year. If you're creating your shopping list or your Christmas wish list, keep this in mind. As Mariah Mason has penned an article called The 34 Best Food Gifts of 2023, and she writes, the very best food gifts for any occasion, whether they're a dedicated home chef, cocktail enthusiast, or even a picky eater, is to follow through with what she considers the best food items in Alabama. Actually, this is a breakdown of the entire South. So, I need to pay a little bit more attention to the 34 best food gifts of 2023 from Mariah Mason. But among those on her list, while I'm teasing you here, she's got Café du Monde out of New Orleans and their beignet mix set. How about Caroline's Cake 7-layer Southern Chocolate Cake and the Magnolia Bakery Banana Pudding Lover's Sampler Pack? All sounds great to me. Now, she did write, let's see here, specifically since Southern Living has its long history in Alabama. She's got an Alabama Peanut Company original roasted peanut bucket is on the list, as well as a Stone Hollow Farmstead Lady Finger popcorn. That's a lot to say. Lady Finger popcorn costs $13. It better be good. And many of their varieties are sold out online. So if you're hoping to maybe get some of these items in time for Christmas, or even better than that, Halloween, you might want to go ahead and get your shopping done early. Check out this article, southernliving.com. Oprah's favorite things in ABC World News Tonight in December of 2022 featured Stone Hollow Farmstead as part of their Made in America series. So that might be a place that sounds a little familiar if you saw Oprah's favorite things. And how about ABC World News? I wonder who did it first. Did ABC World News go cover this, or did Oprah cover this Stone Hollow Farmstead and their offerings here? The Stone family opened this place in 1999. Deborah Stone and her husband opened it back then. And it produces cheeses, honey, specialty foods, botanicals, cosmetic extracts, and more. And in 2019, the Stone family opened Stone Hollow Farm Stand at Pepper Place. And let's see if they have an online location for that. I'm not seeing it, but it's in Alabama. If you get a chance, just Google Stone. What is it? Stone Hand? Stone Hollow. Stone Hollow Farm Stand. All right. Enough of the food talk here for this opening hour of the Y'all Show. We've got more food coming up. We're going to talk about walnuts, actually, before we get out of here today with our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, dropping by. Why are we talking about walnuts? Have you seen a walnut lately? Good Lord, would you want to get hit on the head when one of those things falls out of the tree? I don't think so. I do not think so. We got all that coming up still, more headlines. But when we come back, we've got the political headlines. What's going on in Washington, D.C. today? My goodness, are they going to finally get a House Speaker? We'll give you the latest on that. And President Trump in New Hampshire on Tuesday, or Monday rather. What's up with that? All that coming right up.
Dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our boots ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home.
A touching song there from John Michael Montgomery.
My so many love, it's almost gone.
Wonderful people serving in our military around the country and, of course, around the world and our country. And then, of course, those, unfortunately, who've given the ultimate sacrifice. That song there, always special to play. And what a really cool song. Plus, of course, I like the fact that it says, Mama sends her best, y'all. We're back here wrapping up this opening hour of the Y'all Show Up with a look at some political news across the Southeast today. And John Michael's state that he currently lives in, a state that he is from, is getting ready here to have a governor's race, a governor's election, in just a couple of weeks, as they'll be going to vote whether Daniel Cameron, the current attorney general for Kentucky, is going to get a chance to be Kentucky's governor, or if Andy Beshear will be reelected governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Well, they had another debate. They've already had a few of these things. The first one got kind of sideways slightly on the topic of abortion. And now they're continuing to have abortion talk and more. Daniel Cameron and Beshear with their continued race leading up to the general election coming up in early November. They have had a big, big race that has captured a lot of people's attention. I don't think Cameron's going to win this thing. I think Beshear's just been conservative slightly enough to not pull away too many folks that might be going for Cameron. But this is going to be one of our close races, if there's going to be one, as both not only Kentucky but Mississippi also electing a new governor here in a couple of weeks. And then Virginia will have a state elections. The governor is not up for election, but all of the officials within the state house there in Richmond, are up for a vote in the coming days. Now let's move over to the national scene. And right now, today, the House is entering a third week without a speaker. And the number has gone from 9 to 8 Republicans trying to be the House speaker. You had one Michigan congressman bow out of the race on Monday. And so we've got a eye on Washington, D.C. today, because I think if Republicans are going to survive for the long term, they got to get this problem solved. They're not looking good. They are holding up the country in many ways. And so Republicans today meeting on Capitol Hill, trying to come up with a plan. And then the question is, are they going to follow that plan when they get out there in the chamber of Congress? And are they going to vote unanimously, just like the Democrats do? And let's get this thing out of the way. I don't think there's a single person out of these eight that would be a bad House Speaker. Okay? I know some are pointing out that two of these eight didn't necessarily support holding up the last election for president. These two went along with ratifying the vote. That's not very Trumpy to be like that. But Trump's not on the ballot today. He's not the person that's going to get selected. So hopefully Republicans can get their you-know-what in order, and we can get our country in order. At least you won't be able to keep blaming Republicans if there's a continued delay on choosing a House Speaker. Speaking of Trump, he has weighed in on this whole subject. And let's go to New Hampshire, where on Monday, President Trump was there officially filing in person his paperwork to be on the ballot for the New Hampshire primary on the Republican side. And Trump, in a Trumpian way, had a good time talking to members of the media. And he also weighed in on the whole debacle in Washington, D.C. right now with the Republicans. Here is the former president from New Hampshire, Monday, and we have this audio to you right now on the Y'all Show.
What's happened in the House?
Well, it's a lot of tumult. There's no question about that, but we'll see what happens. We're going to see
Mr.
what happens.
What is the President's problem with the House right now?
I think DeSantis is really going down, it looks like. I just looked at a poll that came out, and he was in third place. And he's another one where, as I call him, Ron DeSanctimonious, he was in fifth place. So bad things are happening, but we keep going up. And I looked at one where it's 64, and the second person is at 8. So between him and a few others, I guess a few others, but New Hampshire seems to be a little bit different in that regard, but he's looking like he's going to be in third place, maybe even fourth place.
Mr. President, you're turning out your voters well, and they are concerned when they look at what they see in the House, in the Hill, in the chaos.
Yeah.
What is your message to Republicans?
Well, I think it's going to get solved, and when it does, it'll be a beautiful thing, and it'll teach a lot of people about democracy. You know, that happened once before. It's very tough with the four votes, you know, with a four-vote spread. But something's going to happen. It'll be positive. It'll end up working well. I'm staying above it. I have to right now. But I've spoken to just about all the candidates. There are quite a few of them. And they're terrific people. You know, that four threshold is very tough. It's a very tough thing, no matter who it is. I said there's only one person that can do it all the way. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. If Jesus came down and said, I want to be speaker, he would do it. Other than that, I haven't seen anybody that can guarantee it. But at some point, I think we're going to have somebody pretty soon.
All right, Donald Trump, again, that was from Monday, bringing in Jesus into the discussion about House Speaker. You know what? I don't even think Jesus could get unanimous consent, as they say, in Congress if he were on the ballot. But I'd vote for him, absolutely. But great to see Trump. Corey Lewandowski was alongside. Corey Lewandowski, Trump's political strategist, has been a part of his campaign since before he even got going on the political side back in 2016. He was there, and, you know, he's out. He had a big rally. I saw some of the footage of that from Monday. Trump being Trump and bringing in Jesus into the discussion. The national polling right now does show Trump with a commanding lead on the Republican side in a potential Trump-Biden matchup. Trump actually just edges out Biden. Biden is about 0.5 percentage points behind Trump in the latest Real Clear Politics polling average. The lady from South Carolina, in a potential matchup with Biden, has a 1.6 advantage over Biden, according to Real Clear Politics polling. Take that how you want. That wraps up hour one. We got more fun coming up in hour two. Stay tuned. We got the South in our mouth, and we're happy to pass it along to you. Not that you need it. You may be full of Southern in your mouth, but you know what? I bet you there's still just a little bitty tiny room of Dixie that can go down your, okay, I'll just shut up. Welcome in. It's y'all. It's hour number two. We got plenty of conversation about what's going on across the Southeast. More headlines that we'll be sharing with you. Also, we've got coming up in the second hour, book talk today. We're going to learn more about Michael Lewis. He is the author that has written several big books out there, among them The Blind Side, that got turned into the movie that Sandra Bullock starred in. that might be a fake story, by the way. But we'll discuss Michael Lewis's new book. It is all about Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX. That's the cryptocurrency company. And Lewis, the New Orleans-based writer, has a new book out that talks about this whole crypto thing. It's called Going Infinite, and it's one of the top five best-selling books on the New York Times bestsellers list. And we've got an audio clip coming from Lewis in just a few minutes. We'll have that as part of our Southern Book Report for hour number two, and we'll share all the other big booksellers of the day, courtesy of the New York Times list. That's coming up, and before the hour's up, we've got an entertainment report with information coming your way on Lainey Wilson and her new tour for 2024. And then we've got some Halloween costume ideas. In case you have forgotten, we are now 1 week away from Spooky Halloween 2023. And boy, am I seeing, I mentioned it on Monday's show, that are people who go all out for Halloween. I mean, it's bigger than Christmas. And yesterday, while driving around, I saw somebody's yard that had skeletons that were more than life-size out on the front lawn. I mean, these things must have been 12 feet tall. And I saw them in the middle of the daytime. I can't imagine, and if I had not seen these things, what they would be like at nighttime. I'm sure they're lit up. But yes, people go bananas for Halloween. I don't quite get it, but, you know, I don't understand a lot of things. And you know what? I bet y'all don't understand some of the crazy stuff I talk about. Ain't that what makes America great? And we're making America great again right here on the Y'all Show each and every time we get together. But we got Halloween, we got Lainey, we got more coming up in our entertainment headlines. Don't forget, in our final hour of this Tuesday show, we've got, in addition to headlines coming up, we got the Takapola Storyteller. Talk about some crazy stuff. How about walnuts? Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, ding. Man, they're coming down if you live near a walnut tree. There's a good chance they're coming down. If you know, I don't understand walnuts. That's why I got a guy who's nuts to come on and talk about walnuts. Jerry Short, the Takapola Storyteller, dropping by in our final hour today. Plus, before we get out of here today, we've got a look at a Southern recipe, and it has something to do with pumpkins, y'all. Mm-mm. All that's coming up. Want to get you involved with y'all? It's easy to do. We've got our text line. All you got to do is save this in your phone. And therefore, when you've got a question, you can just text us anytime you feel like it. 615-208-4184. 615-208-4184. And if an email is your preferred way to communicate, then you can do that too, 24/7. M-A-I-L, mail at Y-A-L-L.com, mail at y'all.com. There you have it. Those are the simple, easy ways to reach out to the Y'all Show, no matter what time of day, night, because we've got people that not just listen to us on the radio, but they listen to us in podcast form, and there's no telling when they may be listening to us. Thank you to all of you who listen to us in the middle of the night. Maybe you're working third shift, and you just can't get through your shift without listening to the Y'all Show. So thank you for that. We sure appreciate it. Let's pick up our news headlines of the day. And our news headlines start off again with more info coming in on that terrible crash in the state of Louisiana, the super fog incident that happened on Interstate 55. Seven people have now been killed and 25 injured, 150 vehicles damaged in this crash. In fact, the number shows now 158 vehicles, according to the Louisiana State Police, on this wreck that happened on Interstate 55 northwest of New Orleans. This created an 11-mile backup. And according to LSP, this roadway is going to be closed for, quote, the foreseeable future. A 24-mile-long highway now closed. And I'm going to pull it up here. This is what I was threatening to do in our opening hour. And my phone was not close by. How dare myself for not being with phone next to me. So, as I said, I thought this was south of Hammond. And I'm right. Interstate 55, if you're not familiar with how it works, it goes from basically New Orleans to Chicago. I-55, it goes out of New Orleans north to the North Shore, and it goes through the lovely town of Hammond, home of the university, the Southeastern Louisiana University. Go Lions. Goes through there, and then it hits Mississippi, goes through Macomb, works its way up to Jackson, Mississippi, and then due north of Jackson, it goes up toward Grenada, goes past Batesville, which is just to the west of Oxford, and then it hits the Memphis area. And then in Memphis, it jumps the river and goes over to West Memphis, where it stays on the west side of the Mississippi going north. And I-55 heads up to the Boot Hill past Blytheville, Arkansas. And then the Boot Hill of Missouri is where it ends up turning at Cape Girardeau toward St. Louis. It runs right parallel to the Mississippi River. And in St. Louis, did I say it went to Chicago? I'm sorry. I was wrong. At Cape Girardeau, there's another interstate that's formed there. Or actually, it's south of Cape Girardeau. Sykeston. Okay, Sykeston. That's where I-57 kicks off. That's what goes toward the Windy City. So, okay. I got my Yankee towns mixed up. But yes, I-55 goes to St. Louis. And from St. Louis, it might go somewhere else. It ends up going to St. Louis. Then it goes in the direction of Chicago. I thought it did go toward Chicago. So you've got it goes to Bloomington. Sorry, we're doing map talk here on today's Y'all Show. Rand McNally, where are you? So it does come into Chicago, I-55. It just goes through St. Louis to get there. So back to this tragedy in Louisiana from Monday. I-55 now is closed south of Hammond, Louisiana. So if you're needing to go to the Big Easy, the advice is to head over toward Baton Rouge. If you're coming south, you can go toward Baton Rouge on Interstate 12 and then come back down on I-10 through LaPlace to get to the Big Easy. Or coming south on I-55, you can head east on I-12, and then you could go across the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. I remember doing that as a kid. That was and may still be the longest bridge in the world. Something about Vladimir Putin's Kerch Bridge might have surpassed Pontchartrain by now. But what a scary little ride. But, yeah, you can go straight across Pontchartrain if you want to and come out at Metairie. That's one other option. Then you can go over to Slidell and come in to New Orleans via I-10 on the east side. So giving you some traffic information courtesy of this terrible tragedy from Monday. And here on this Tuesday, we're telling you about it. Again, 7 people killed, over 150 cars damaged, and a lot of people injured, all because of this super fog incident in the state of Louisiana. The governor put out a statement, John Bel Edwards, and he talked about how the combination of wildfire smoke that Louisiana's unfortunately had been going through lately, that along with the dense fog of Pontchartrain and all of that area, caused this horrible situation Monday. And the governor, who's about to finish up his term, there's already a new governor-elect of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. But Governor Edwards encouraged residents to exercise caution while on foggy roads and to donate blood. That's the big thing that people can do, not just in Louisiana, but beyond, as a just horrible, horrible thing. 7 people killed. And this can happen anywhere. I mean, anytime you're near an area that's got a river or a large creek and it's perhaps early morning hours, that fog can build up. I mean, it comes on you and you don't even know it. And I don't think our cars are equipped to deal with big-time fog. And if it's as bad as it was on Monday in Louisiana, where do you even pull over? If you say, okay, I don't have to get to work that bad, I'll just pull over and let this thing play out. It's so thick that it's almost too dangerous to even pull off to the side of the road if you can even see the side of the road. Bad stuff out there. I remember, I don't think it's quite as a hip thing now as it was back in the 80s, but I remember the good old boys. This is going way back for a lot of you, and it shows that I got a little red in me. If you're a good redneck, you know about fog lights going on your pickup truck. Now, I never was able to I didn't have a big pickup truck, so I was a redneck wannabe. But I don't know how well those things really work. The I think it's KC and the Florida Georgia Line had their opening song talked about KC's. So that's really the only publicity I've heard of that brand getting in the last 20 years. But yeah, the fog lights on cars actually are pick-em-up trucks. Do they really make a big difference? I don't know, because I never personally had the need to flip them on, but they sure look cool. Going way back now, you think about the fog lights. You had the big old tires, and then you had to have the mud flaps, I guess. And then you had, if you were really cool, you had the CB antenna, the whip that would be on the back of, like, say, a pickup, or maybe a Jeep would even be cooler if you had one of those. Okay, we're sidetracked here. But just throwing those memories of if you lived in the South back in the Reagan years, the good old years, fog lights were kind of a big deal on certain automobiles. An update from Middle Tennessee, a positive story coming off such a tragic story that we told you about with the seven people being killed in that super fog incident Monday. Laverne, Tennessee, over the weekend is where the son of Nashville's police chief shot two members of the Laverne police force. They went to a Dollar General after a reader detected a stolen car, and so these officers went and did their proper work to try to figure out what was going on, and they got attacked by this guy, the son of Nashville's police chief. The great news is that these two Laverne, Tennessee police officers are now out of the hospital, and they're going to be okay. Thank God. One of the two officers, Officer Ashley Bolajack and Officer Gregory Kern, Bolajack actually put out on social media, "Hey, everyone, I'm recovering. Hard responding back to all the calls and messages right now. I truly appreciate all the love and support from each of you. God was watching out for me and my partner's life. I'm still in shock, honestly, but blessed to see another day." And she got shot alongside her partner, Officer Gregory Kern. They're both with the Laverne, Tennessee Police Force. They were shot by the son of Metro Police Chief John Drake. His son, John Drake Jr., is the man accused of shooting these two, and he's on the run. He is now on the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation's TBI Most Wanted list. And here's a guy that you have to scratch your head and say, how could he have even been out on the run anyway? This guy's got quite a rap sheet. The son of Nashville's police chief. According to outlets that cover Nashville and Middle Tennessee news items, Drake Jr.'s criminal history from the Davidson County Criminal Court Clerk revealed that he has been charged 59 times over the last 18 years. He's also a registered sex offender, which he violated three different times, that registered sex offender status. What went wrong with this guy? I think he's 38 years old, John Drake Jr. Please go to, if you're in anywhere in Tennessee, and frankly, I don't think this guy's, it's very likely not even in Tennessee at this point, go check out his mugshot. He needs to be back behind bars. He's considered armed and dangerous if you run across John Drake Jr. But the good news out of Laverne, these two officers now out of the hospital, and it looks like they're going to be okay. Some positive stories on this Tuesday. Other headlines, another story out of the state of Tennessee. This is not quite so positive, but it's not that serious, so I think we can deal with this one. Backyard burgers. is closing its Knoxville, Tennessee location after 35 years. They're closing their location at 1008 Kingston Pike. Friday will be their last day, and that's unfortunate. Been there 35 years, first opened in 1987. This is a franchise based in Nashville. Backyard Burgers filed for Chapter 11 in bankruptcy back in July. The chain once had over 200 locations across the Southeast and Midwest. They're really struggling right now, and now losing this location in Knoxville. I think they've lost some in other locations in Tennessee around the Nashville area. The one in Jackson, Tennessee has gone out of business. Locations in Mississippi have gone out of business. It's a great little fast food joint. Again, at one time, as the article said, Backyard Burgers boasted 200 locations. Started way back in 1987, it was, in Cleveland, Mississippi. It's where Backyard Burgers got going. And unfortunately, they've had a tough time since COVID, and many of their locations are closing. But if you have a chance, check it out. In 2022, Backyard Burgers was named one of America's favorite brands by Newsweek. I mean, just a year ago, one of America's favorite brands, and here they are going bankrupt. Yeah, and have had to close a lot of their restaurants. So at the time of their most recent bankruptcy filing, Backyard Burgers had 20 operating locations. So there aren't too many left, but they have a great little burger. They've got one of the neat things about Backyard Burgers is you can go there and get a burger, great fries. They have Pepsi products, but they have ice cream that's scooped up. You can get that. They have shakes and more. I wish them the best. And Backyard, if you're listening, please find a way to hang on. Please, we need you across the Southeast. It's a great little option. I'm looking at their franchise locations now. It looks like they've got one location in Altamont Springs, Florida. And then across the rest of the South, they've got what looks like one location still in Raleigh, North Carolina. And many around Memphis, but not as many as you might think. They still have the one in Batesville, Mississippi. Second time this hour I've mentioned Batesville. And then they've got one near their home where they got started, Clarksdale, Mississippi, in the Mississippi Delta. And I think they go as far west as Benton, Arkansas, but not many left. So you better get on the Backyard Burgers outing as soon as possible before they go completely out of business. But we hope they don't. Again, I'm here talking about them today to let you know, unfortunately for Knoxville, you've lost yours, and they've been closed in other locations, but be neat if they came back around. Make Backyard Burgers great again, because I have been a huge fan of BYB through the years. In fact, one time, if I can brag, they were part of a sweet tea competition that y'all put on, and Backyard Burgers won that particular sweet tea challenge at that location. So they got great tea at BYB. That needs to be on a t-shirt, y'all. That wraps up our news headlines for Hour 2. When we come back in Hour 3, I've got to tell you another story of the day, as we've got information on Shania Twain. She was recently in concert in Music City, and the place that put on this thing has over $350,000 in damage. What in the world's going on with Shanae and her fans? Are Shania Twain fans our problem in an American society now? Do we need to ban Shania Twain? Do we need to keep her out of the country? Well, you know what? She doesn't live here. She's been living in Switzerland for most of her adult life. Or she can go back to Canada. But her fans need to get it together, y'all. She says, come on. I think that's the word. Come on, get it together. Okay, well, Shania fans, come on, get it together. All right, well, we'll give you that story coming up a little bit later on the Y'all Show. When we come back, we're going to talk about books. As we've got our Southern Book Report headed your way, we'll give you the update on the top-selling books for both the fiction and nonfiction categories from the New York Times. And also, I'm going to let you hear some audio from Michael Lewis. He's the very successful author that had several of his works turned into movies and more. Michael Lewis has got a new read out there. It's part of the bestsellers from the nonfiction category. His book is called Going Infinite, and we'll have him discuss that book courtesy of the Washington Post. That's coming up, and before the hour is up, we've got some entertainment headlines to pass along to you as well. We are Y'all. We want to remind you, you can text us here at the Y'all Show 24/7, 615-208-4184. And more of the show that shakes the Southland is headed your way next. Noted, Reba, we're back on Y'all. I believe they call that one there a power ballad, Reba and Mr. Vince Gill. A couple of Okies hanging out. We're hanging out with you here on the program All About the Southeast. And at this point in time on Tuesdays, we have a chance to tell you what's going on in the world of books. And let me give you the latest New York Times bestsellers list for the fiction category. And Rebecca Yarnos's Fourth Wing, it's been out nearly half a year, and it is number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Brand new this week, it is Bloodlines from Nelson DeMille and Alex DeMille, the second book in the Scott Brody and Maggie Taylor series. After a mission in Venezuela, Brody and Taylor search for the murderer of a fellow agent. Bloodlines, number two on the NYT bestsellers list this week. Coming in at number three, it's only been out 2 weeks now. It's Hannah Grace's Wildfire, the second book in the Maple Hills series. The summer camp counselors who previously had a one-night stand may run afoul of the camp's rules. Wild stuff there in Wildfire, the number three book on the NYT fiction list. Coming in at number four, this one's been out a while, almost a year now. It's Bonnie Garmus's Lessons in Chemistry. A scientist and a single mother living in California in the 1960s become a star on a TV cooking show. Lessons in Chemistry, number four. And then number five, this one's only been out 2 weeks now. It's John Sanford's Judgment Prey, the 32nd book in the Prey series. Davenport and Flowers investigate the murder of a federal judge and his two young sons. It seems to me to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, for fiction at least, you need to have a series of books. So my advice for all of you wanting to break out into the book world and be a best-selling author, you need to write about 20 books, and then you might have a chance, okay? You got to get started somewhere, though, so get that first one out, but then keep on a-writing. and then you'll be a New York Times best-selling author, okay? Let's check out the New York Times nonfiction category, and this one's been out well over a year, pushing now 2 years. Killers of the Flower Moon. That's been made into a movie. I think that's out in theaters right now. Killers of the Flower Moon by David Grond, the story of a murder spree in 1920s Oklahoma that targeted Osage Indians whose lands consumed or contained oil. And that book, number one on the nonfiction list right now. Coming in at number two, Jersey Girl Cassidy Hutchinson. And enough. Her book's been out for 3 weeks. This is the former special assistant to President Donald Trump and his chief of staff, Mark Meadows. She details events surrounding the crisis of conscience she faced. She's the lady, of course, back in the summer of 2022, went on Capitol Hill and spilled the beans about Trump and Mark Meadows. And she's the one that accused Trump of trying to punch a Secret Service agent. And her book is out right now, number two on the nonfiction list, Enough, from Cassidy Hutchinson. Number three, Elon Musk. Walter Isaacson has penned this book on Musk. The author of The Codebreaker traces Musk's life from South Africa and summarizes his work on electric vehicles, private space exploration, and artificial intelligence. Elon Musk, that's the name of the book. It's number three on the combined print and ebook nonfiction list. Bill O'Reilly's back. He's got a new book that checks in at number four on the nonfiction list, and it's called Killing the Witches. Bill O'Reilly, along with Martin Dugard, penning this 13th book in the conservative commentator's Killing series, and it gives a portrayal of the events of 1692 and 1693 in Salem Village, Massachusetts, the Salem witch trials. What's Bill O'Reilly going to do next? You know, he went from killing Lincoln to killing all these other people, and now he's killing witches. Huh. Bill O'Reilly. Do you miss him on TV every day? If you miss him on the TV, you can catch him on radio. He's still got his radio program available on some of our stations. And then you can always find a Bill O'Reilly book right there, Killing the Witches. It's number four on the nonfiction category. And lastly, this one's only been out 2 weeks now, and it's called Going Infinite by New Orleans-based writer Michael Lewis. The author of The Big Short and The Blind Side, as well as The Premonition, Michael Lewis chronicles the rise and fall of Sam Bankman-Fried and the cryptocurrency company FTX. And that's out right now, Going Infinite, from Michael Lewis. Lewis, born in New Orleans back in 1960, and he is a Princeton-educated guy. He actually went to high school, at the same school Isadore Newman that the Mannings went to, Peyton and Eli. I don't know if he played football there at Isaac Newman or not, but that's kind of funny. I'm sorry, did I say Isaac? It's Isadore Newman School in the Big Easy, which is a pretty elite school in the city of New Orleans. But Michael Lewis has had quite a writing career and has had a lot of his works go on to be movies and more. And just kind of been a guy you've seen on TV. He's on a lot of talk shows, and he has won awards. He won the Gerald Loeb Award for his magazine work as well as writing and more. And he's got quite, as I said, quite a bibliography of his work that he's done through the years. I would say his most famous book right now would be The Blind Side. He wrote that book. He actually got embedded with Ed Orgeron. I think that's how that worked, and covered the whole Michael Orr recruiting and more back in the 2006-07 time period. He would go to Ole Miss games. I remember hearing about him. This writer would be part of the Orgeron dynasty of the 2005, 6, and 7 years in Oxford. Then that would get turned into The Blind Side, which would get turned into a very successful movie that Sandra Bullock won an Oscar for. Now the question is, was all that fake? fake news coming from Michael Lewis and the Tuies. More to come on that one. But now he's gone from writing about college football to, in this year, writing about Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX and the collapse of the cryptocurrency exchange company. And Bankman-Fried, the 31-year-old California native and MIT alum, was the head of this company with wild hair and all. And it's all chronicled in this new book that Michael Lewis has got out. And number two on the New York Times bestseller list right now, Going Infinite. Let's go hear a recent interview that Lewis did as he sat down with the Washington Post Live YouTube page talking about Going Infinite. And here the New Orleans writer discusses his latest read.
Sam Bankman-Fried, a person who sensed that he had his competitive advantage in semi-chaotic environments, that if things are moving fast and changing all the time and unstable, that's where he was best, proceeds to create lots of unstable semi-chaotic environments, his Alameda research and this exchange. And among the received wisdom from grown-ups that he rejects is the idea that you need job titles or organization charts or even lists of the employees who work for you. And this thing grows to be a 450-person organization, and nobody knows exactly where they fit in the organization because Sam is forbidden. Like, there are some job titles, but they don't match the job. Some people want a title. He gives them a title, but doesn't have anything to do with what they do. And his environments tended to have a lot of discontent in them, unhappiness, because people were not being emotionally serviced. And Sam would bring in people to kind of subcontract the servicing of their emotional needs of the employees to them. Yeah. And one of the people he does this with is his own psychiatrist. He has a psychiatrist who's been back in the Bay Area, who's emerged as essentially the psychiatrist to effective altruists. Yeah. And Sam says, could you move to the Bahamas and become psychiatrist to FTX, to the whole business, because everybody's screwed up. And everybody's got a problem.
FTX had moved to the Bahamas.
Everybody moved to the Bahamas. And so the psychiatrist's name is George Lerner, gets there. And instantly he has 100 patients want to go lay on his couch and tell him about the problems with work. And George realizes that he can't understand what these people are talking about unless he has an organization chart. And so through therapy, he starts to create an organization chart and secretly keeps it because he knows if Sam finds out, Sam's going to be furious. So George, when it all blows up, hands me a thumb drive with this thing on it and says, nobody knows it exists. I'm vanishing. I'm getting out of here. But here it is. And I've been watching with great amusement as the bankruptcy people, when they get up and say, we still don't know who worked for this place, and there's no organization chart. And here it is. It actually is quite a good organization chart. But I love that it took the shrink to figure out what the hell's going on inside of Sam Bankman-Fried's world. And so we stuck it on the inside of the dust jacket.
I mean,
pretty wild stuff there about FTX. And all this is in the new book that Michael Lewis has penned called Going Infinite. And it's one of the top selling books on the New York Times bestseller list right now. Seems like a pretty interesting read for sure. Even if you aren't into the whole cryptocurrency thing, this has been a big story. And Mr. Bankman-Fried hanging out in a jail cell, I believe, right now, or heading that way real soon for all the idiot decision-making, including not having an organization chart. A little T-O-N-E, y'all. We're going to wrap this hour up right after the break with some entertainment news, so stay tuned.
Leaving all I know back there, rushing.
there's that redhead from Kentuck, also blonde hair. Now that I think about it, she was blonde before she went red. But either way, Patti Loveless and one of her great songs from the mid-1990s. We're going to tell you about a great honor for Patti and another country music songstress in just a second. But as we wrap up hour two, let me give you a few other news and notes from the entertainment world. And how about another lady with a Nashville area connection, although not a singer. Although I do believe she did sing a little bit for Walk the Line. Reese Witherspoon, she evidently helped Jennifer Garner out. As Garner says that Witherspoon helped her during a very hard moment in her life. We wrap up this hour with entertainment news. As both Jennifer and Reese appeared at Hello Sunshine's Shine Away event in Los Angeles this past weekend. And while there, Garner said that Reese was there for her during this very public, very hard moment in her life. She said, I think back to being pregnant. This one, talking about Reese Witherspoon, was sitting next to me. I think back to going through a very public, very hard moment in my life. She was right there. And the way I needed to get through it was dance cardio. Okay, Jennifer Garner with a connection to the South. She is from West Virginia and Texas. Reese is a Williamson County girl. And that would be in Tennessee, FYI. So good to know that they get along pretty well, Reese and Jennifer Garner. And they've gotten along for what looks like quite a little while. And that's always wonderful news to share that Southerners out in Hollywood are keeping it Southerner, keeping it Southern. Now, let me tell you about Patti Loveless. As she, Tanya Tucker, and Bob McNeil are the newest inductees into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Patti, with big songs like that one right there, Nothing But the Will. She also had Blame It on Your Heart. And Timber, I'm Falling in Love, and just a great singer. She joins now Miss T, Tanya Tucker, of course, Delta Dawn singer and singer of so many great, great songs. And then songwriter Bob McNeil also going in. They become the 51st and 152nd members of the Country Music Hall of Fame. And we are excited about that. In fact, they just had a debut of this thing over the last few days with an induction ceremony at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville. So congratulations, Miss Patti, Miss Tanya, and Mr. McDeal for the honor there. And lastly, Lainey Wilson has announced her 2024 headlining tour. You can go to her website and check out the date. She's going to be all over the place, starting in Nashville with her first tour stop, and then she wraps up in Monroe, Louisiana, her hometown area. So that's pretty neat to see the Cool Again tour that Lainey Wilson's going to be headlining in 2024. Bunch of dates. I would say probably 30 showing up for her. And that wraps up hour two. More of y'all coming right up. Number three of the Y'all Show, where we talk about what's going on in the 16 southern states. Pay attention now. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West, by God, Virginia. We got you covered here on Y'all. And if you're from one of those great southern states, welcome aboard. If you're a wannabe Southerner, then come on and join in on the fun, because we've got stuff you're not going to find on any other program out there. We do it each and every day, giving you a dose of Dixie on the Y'all Show, a blend of news, some sports, a lot of entertainment news. We talked books earlier this hour. And we also have storytelling on the Y'all Show. And we've got the king storyteller himself about to show up here. As I'm going to talk to Jerry Short. He doesn't know it, but I'm going to talk to him about walnuts. Oh, I have been inundated with walnuts for the first time in my life. And I didn't realize they looked like big, gigantic apples when they fell off a walnut tree. Thank God none of them hit me on the head. That actually might do some positive things if that happened. But I just don't know much about walnuts. So Mr. Nut himself, Jerry Short, is going to come on and talk about it. And all you out there who have walnut trees, or if you're like some folks I know who grew up with a meemaw and a walnut tree in her yard, well, guess what, meemaws of the world? We're going to talk about your walnut trees and what you can do about it. All that's coming up with our Takapola storyteller in the next segment. So that's coming up. Plus, before we get out of here today, we've got pumpkins also on our mind in this final hour. And I've got, courtesy of tasteofhome.com, a great combination of pumpkins and biscuits. Now, that's pretty dang Southern. We've got a recipe for pumpkin batch biscuits, and that's going to be served up before we head to the house here a little bit later in this hour. If you want to get involved with y'all, we've got the podcast forums. We're on great radio stations, but you also can text us here as we have the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week text line, 615-208-4184. Let's catch up with some news headlines of the day. Big story today from Washington, D.C. is Republicans are gathering. Are they going to end up doing some positive today and picking a House Speaker? All eyes and all ears on Washington, D.C. This has been going on more than 3 weeks now of the United States not having a leader of one of its branches of government. And they need to get their act together. Are you listening, all of you people there on Capitol Hill? Let's get the country up and going the way it ought to, okay? So that's going on today. We'll keep our eyes out on that if they end up picking somebody to be the House Speaker. From the world of baseball, the Texas Rangers ousted the Houston Astros in the American League Championship Series with an 11-4 victory in Houston. The Rangers now await the winner of this Tuesday's battle between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and those two teams will end up facing off in the World Series of Major League Baseball. Congratulations, Texas Rangers. Louisiana still cleaning up the mess and the tragic day that was, as they had this thing called a super fog incident. 7 motorists dying after this fog took over Interstate 55 between Hammond and New Orleans. 25 people injured, over 150 vehicles damaged with this horrible incident. Blood now being requested to be given to help out those in the hospital. Whew, just a terrible tragedy over the last 24 hours from the state of Louisiana. Elsewhere across our southeast today in our headlines, we're only a week away from Halloween, and we have this year's most popular and relevant Halloween costumes to tell you about. Barbie is pretty relevant, and it's a Halloween costume that you're probably going to see a lot of this year. There's a costume, did you know there's one for Oppenheimer? Yes, you've got that as a possible Halloween costume that's going to be big this year. Spider-Man is a costume of note this year. If somebody comes knocking on your door, check that out. They got the Wednesday Addams, as Netflix released its series Wednesday, a spinoff of the Addams Family last year. And now there's a character costume there for Wednesday Addams. Bear is a Halloween costume coming from a fat bear contest. I'm not sure what that's all about. Those are some of the costumes to be on the lookout for in 2023 that are not only popular but relevant. I bet you there are going to be so many Barbie costumes this year, you won't be able to see straight. Who is the best Barbie? Your child is the best Barbie, right? Your family member. Oh, they're just so cute. I just want to know, where are my Kens? I'd like to be Ken for a day. hanging out with all those 50-year-old and plus Barbies that get dressed up for, because I don't want the rumors coming, okay? We like our Barbies of all ages, right? We sure do. And our Kens of all ages, too. We're an inclusive program here at the Y'all Show. Okay, speaking of inclusive, we're going to talk about nuts. When we come back, we're going to talk about walnuts. Did you realize, if you're from a non-walnut area like I evidently am from, how big of a deal these things are? And when I truly mean that. Walnuts are kind of a big deal. And our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, is going to be on in just a moment. And he and I are going to have a good conversation, an educational conversation, about this, would you call it a fruit of the South? A fruit of the nation? Walnuts? Squirrels? Are you listening? We'll be right back with the Takapola storyteller. Don't miss out on the fun, y'all. We are back on the Y'all Show as we accentuate the South each and every time we have a chance to do that. And we definitely accentuate the South when our friend Jerry Short, the Takapola storyteller, drops by for some good storytelling and more. Jerry, hopefully you are all set with some good storytelling today.
Man, I don't know. I'm 100% Southern, though. You're right about that.
Are you?
100%.
Do you have proof?
I believe I do. I frown pretty heavy against those northern people.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to tell you, you don't have to show me your proof, but I actually have something to thank you with to start today's Y'all Show.
Yeah,
I want to thank you. You brought in a gift here for our Y'all Show today, and I want to start off our topic of conversation since it is right here in October and we're wrapping up this month and the leaves are a-changing and more.
Given season.
It's a given season, you brought me something that I had asked you about, and I didn't know what the heck was going on
Goodness
outside my
gracious.
Doorstep, and you're Mr. Forrester.
Semi,
and I told you that I had something fallen at my house that I had not seen in 5 years of living there. Could you please help me? And lo and behold, you walk in, and you bring me this gift. And it's exactly what's fallen down at my house. And that would be a walnut.
That's what it was. But I guessed two or three other things before we zeroed in on the target, didn't we?
And you know where I grew up. It's possible I didn't grow up around walnut trees, right?
You didn't?
I'm asking.
Well, I mean, it should be a few, but it's not many.
Right.
Not many walnut trees anywhere, really.
Okay. All right. Well, that's why having these things fall were so foreign to me, because I'd not seen them before. It looks like apples. A walnut, when it falls off a tree, looks kind of
like a small apple, green apple.
A green apple.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I didn't have an apple tree outside my house. So these things only every few years fall like they're doing for me to?
If you got a good bearing tree, it should fall regular. But I've got a young tree, the one I brought you the sample of.
Okay.
And this is the first year it's bared walnuts.
Okay.
And they're pretty good. They're not... A lot of times the older trees are walnuts. Once you bust into them, the fruit will be kind of raw or
Well, explain to me how a walnut works. I'm sorry. I've been spoiled. I lived in non-walnut country.
Non-walnut.
You got
territory.
This thing that looks like an apple.
Yeah.
But that's not really what you eat.
No.
So what do? You crack it open?
You got to bust it open. It's got a real big, it's got a thick layer around it. And then you bust it open, and you got your regular walnut, just like you would buy an English walnut. It looks like that once they dry out, like you'd buy an English walnut in a grocery store, except it's a black walnut is what you have. And you got to almost need a hammer to bust them open, because they don't bust open that easily.
Okay.
So, you know, you take a hammer and bust it open. If it's not, you know, like that one I gave you might be a little young. It might not be a mature
but
fruit
it fell off
berry.
A tree, right?
Oh, they're falling off regular, and squirrels are getting them. But it's the first year it's bared. And it probably, I'm not going to say it blew in here with the wind. You know, everything blows out of the southwest in this part of the world, and all our problems come from the southwest as far as tornadoes and everything
else. I thought you'd know my politics.
Well, I'm getting there, too, and immigrants and weather, but we get ours from the southwest, and, you know, we got our pine beetles from the southwest that killed all our pine timber.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it could have blew in here, it could have been dropped by a bird or an animal or something. And the tree is not that old because I'd say that bearing tree is probably about a 7-year-old, 8-year-old tree maybe. It's just taller than that garage that's out behind it where it grew up and grew against it almost.
Okay.
And they're falling pretty heavy. My dog was, matter of fact, so many of them was falling I found out. I didn't even know it was bearing. And my dog barked every time it hit the roof at night. So
yeah, it would scare me.
Oh, man. Scared him too.
I'd be barking.
Or her.
Yeah, yeah. So walnuts, okay. So that's what we're talking about here.
We're talking walnuts, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't mind, I mean, because
walnuts, you know, you can make a lot of stuff. You can
yeah, I mean, I won't say I'm a walnut connoisseur, but I just didn't know that these things come. At least this variety come out so big.
Yeah, well, I mean, they start out big, but you know, internally they're not that huge. You know, they can be about the size of a pecan. A pecan, if I wasn't Southern, I would say pecan. But since I'm Southern, I'm going to say pecan.
I don't say pecan either. I say pecan.
Well, you can throw it around a little bit. Depends on how you pronounce it.
So what is the advantage of someone having a walnut tree?
The advantage of a walnut tree?
Mm-hmm.
About the only thing I can think of is it only bears fruit in the fall. And it's for a limited time only. Makes a good shade tree.
Okay. Well, you mentioned this one that's got these walnuts falling. This year's only 7 years old.
Yeah, it's about 7 years old. But it's a pretty good sized tree.
Yeah.
Once it started growing, probably stayed in that kind of like a longleaf pine will stay in a grass stage for 7 years, and it'll kick off and just grow overnight. In 3 years, it's liable to be 12 foot tall. That's kind of how this walnut tree
okay.
did. Yeah.
So sorry if all of you know all this about walnut trees, but I knew with Jerry here today, we could learn a lot about something that, you know, we need to give our southern trees a little love. So these walnuts kind of resemble apples. And I know some people still are out cutting grass. These things would be hell on a lawnmower, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. You don't need to run over one of these. You need a bush hog, you know. But they're usually in a pasture, too. So usually, you know, not just in your yard. Because unless you planted it yourself to make a decorative type tree out of it, but they're usually going to be somewhere where they were dropped by a bird or a bird used the restroom, so to speak.
But these are about the size of a good baseball.
But internally they're not. Walnut, you know, don't get them confused.
But
the shell.
If you don't see it and you're out cutting your grass one more time before winter comes, it's going to be pretty bad.
It's bigger than a lot bigger than a golf ball and smaller than a baseball.
But the shell is so hard. You mentioned
shell is hard to start with, then it'll dry up. It'll be green and it'll turn black and brown and black. And then you bust it and you try to get the shell off of it. And then, of course, it'll come off itself. Animals will bite it off. If you got squirrels in the area, don't worry. They got good little front teeth.
So a squirrel can go through the most green, hard one they can get through there?
Squirrel get in there and get that meat out of it, if it's any meat in it, to their suiting. So, it's no problem on that. And so, you know, walnuts are, they're rare, but they're not completely unheard of in our part of the country. You know, some people could have a walnut like you'd have an orchard. You know, I've known of people having walnut orchards, but they planted them. You know, they just didn't come in there wild and grow up on their own like that. So, you know, you got a situation with walnuts that I love a good walnut. I love a good English walnut or one that comes out of South America or something like that. But they're getting a little expensive like most pecans and nuts and things are, I know.
But as far as you know, you're talking about people growing them. Do you feel like you can grow pecan and or walnut trees just about anywhere in the South?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they can handle anywhere, the bad weather.
You got to have some good soil, you know. Okay. You can't just have a lot of sandy soil. Need some good sandy loam soil that you could grow it in. Anywhere you could grow corn, cotton, or any row crop like such, you know, you could definitely grow walnuts, yeah.
Okay, so the temperature, both cold or hot.
Yeah. I think walnuts are pretty common up north. They're just not a black walnut. I believe they refer to them as just a walnut. I've seen some in upper state New York along Lake Erie. I've seen some pretty big trees there. You know, they've let them grow really big. Of course, the tree itself, you know, you're not going to get any prettier wood. And I had one place when I was logging on some the company that I work for's land. I counted 100 walnut trees on it. And I had to go off to a military school, and I put a registered forester in charge of my logging operation. When I got back, he had cut every walnut tree up for pulpwood, which was 5.8 feet long, and sent it to the paper mill to make paper out of it as just a regular hardwood. Some hardwood you can't use for paper, but he didn't know the difference. He didn't know.
And you said he was a registered forester?
Oh, sure. But, I mean, evidently he didn't know the leave. He didn't know, you know, what was going on. And he was trying to make things work. You know, it was a crew that he wasn't used to. And I had told him before I left, save those walnut trees because we're going to cut them.
And for the best, probably your own benefit?
Yeah, well, they make great mantles, you know, a good, pretty mantle. I did end up getting a mantle or two out of what was left, but it wasn't that many of them left. But I told them, do not cut these walnut trees. We're going to harvest them all when I return from this military school. But when I got back, I walked down through the woods, and I said, where are the walnuts? Where are my walnut trees? You know, they weren't bearing at that time of the year. It was early.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably about June or something like that, or maybe even May. Or April or somewhere in that time of year. So they weren't bearing, so he didn't see them. You'd have to have looked at the leaf to have known, you know. And, you know, all trees have distinguishing leaves, too. So, you know, a lot of foresters have a hard time identifying a tree if they can't see the leaf and know what it is. Or the bark, you know, they'll have different bark. Like these walnut trees will be a tight grooved bark, and it'll be a little bit darker than, say, oak that has longer bark, like a scaly bark. You have a scaly bark oak, and they kind of just have like long knives hanging off of them. So, I mean, you know, you identify stuff with different characteristics that you see in the woods when you're in the woods. So
we're talking with our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, here. It's the Y'all Show, getting a little environmental, if you will, on today's program. Always fun to find out what's going on with you and all that. So walnuts are a type of tree that bear fruit, not necessarily every single year. They can take a break.
Well, they could, but normally, you know, if you got good walnuts, and once they become to that age that they produce walnuts regularly, you're going to get walnuts weather provided. You know, if you don't have a bad drought,
yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit surprised. I think some of these walnuts, when I busted them, when I ain't busted any of them open yet, but I saw where the squirrels have busted them open. And they don't look like the fruit bearing is really good because it's been so dry. We're in the middle of probably the worst drought that I remember in, gosh, 30 or 40 years right now. You know, our ponds are all down to zero, and we just hadn't had any rain to amount to anything. So I know the ponds on my farm are really low, and It's disheartening to see that because, you know, the fish, good thing I dug mine really deep or I'd probably lost fish. You know, they got to have deep enough water or they'll roll over and die and float around.
A pond should be how deep?
Well, I've got one 30-foot deep and I've got one 20-foot deep. And then I'd say they need to be a good 4 to 5 foot if you're going to raise fish in them, you know.
That's like, all? Like 4 to 5 foot?
4 to 5 foot. In
45 or 4 or 5?
4 or 4 to 5, you know, four not 45,
five.
No. And what they do in the Delta, you know, they raise Mississippi catfish, and they usually raise them in 20-acre farms, ponds, that they've built, and they built the levees, and they're not that deep. So, but they pour water in them. Well, they're about the water level is about like I just told you, 5, 6, 8 feet max.
Okay.
And then they'll drain them down somewhat. Then they'll seine them. You know, you'll put men in with a big net, and it'll be somebody on each end of a big net and the handles, and maybe two men to each one. And they'll go through there and they'll seine them out. That's the way we used to do it.
What does seine mean?
Seine means draining them out. You know, it's like you would say you were going to make some iced tea, and you would put a seine under it or something,
okay,
to filter it, filter the water through it, and you would have the fish. So what you're doing, you're pulling those all the way across. You know, they walk the whole length of that 20-acre pond, and what fish they come up with. You got the fish, and they're flopping around in the net that you've caught them in. So, you know, so you need that water.
That sounds like a good job for you.
I've done it. And
you know, from what I understand in some of these places where they have catfish ponds like you're describing,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure they also have something called snakes.
You know, it's not that bad because they usually where cotton fields used to be. And when they put them in the Mississippi Delta and all that flat land, as far as you can see, that I can see, they put them out in an area probably like that now. You know, and the worst thing you have is you have this far, say, 200 miles from the coast, you know, they're liable to have these birds that'll come up, and like seagulls, and you put horns and blowers out to keep them away even.
Or at all times or just when you're doing
when
this?
When they're there, when they come up. And they'll dive in and get the, you know, they start out as a minnow, a small, you know, a three-inch thing when you put them in. And you grow them off to a fish, to a catfish fillet that you would eat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So when they, you know, it's easy for a seagull or something like that.
When you're out seining, you're saying you've got all these fish that are visible. And the birds see it?
Well, if you go up and look over in there, yeah, they're all over the place. And then you haul them out. You got to have oxygen with them, obviously.
Okay.
So your water's got to be deep enough to have enough oxygen for the, you know, they got gills and, you know, they breathe too, just like we do. And except it's underwater. You know, nature takes care of that situation. And then when you have to put them, you know, my daddy had he sold minnows, which are, 2, 3, 4 inch, and them goldfish too, and stuff like that to fish on the lakes with, when for fishermen to use back in the, before all these lures were made out of plastic and people started using artificial bait. We would go get out of ponds, and they would do just like I told you, but it would be minnows, and you'd take the small minnows, and then you would have to have oxygen, and you'd have a big tank on the back of your truck. And then you would take them to your bait shop. And then you had these pretty good size, we called them bats, to contain, to hold the minnows. And they had to have oxygen there all the time, too, so to keep them alive. And then when you dip them out, back in the day, they were 1 cent a piece. I think they're 10 cents a piece now or something like that. But you can get those shiners. You can seine those at the spillways that these core lakes have,
mm-hmm,
and you can catch those as they come through the spillway. And if you've got a net, like I told you a while ago, and you throw it out, it's kind of like a hula hoop size, and you sling it out in the water, and then the net drops down, and then it sinks on down low, and then when you roll it in, it's all comes together like you tied a plastic bag together. And inside it are a lot of those minnows and those shiners that you use to put on a trot line. Or a trot line is what you catch catfish with. It is a long line on a cord that has hooks on it. And then you hook that minnow shiner or whatever in it to catch catfish. And you go back once every 2 or 3 days in your boat because they're sunk in the lake. And you go along the edge, and you pull them up. And as you pull them up, you know, hopefully every time you pull that cord up, there's about an 8 or 10 pound cat on the end of it, you know. So you can catch a lot of fish that way by using those minnows in those baits. So we went from walnuts to We didn't discuss all the other things that I predicted that tree might have been just by what you talked about.
Now we got sidetracked talking about catfish ponds, but that's okay. When we're the Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, you just never know where this thing's going
to
carry over. But I do want to go back to tree talk for a second. So you mentioned how walnut has a great-looking design.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Oh, the wood. Yeah.
The wood itself?
Yeah, the wood has a beautiful design. You know, and it's especially after it's been planed and sanded down, they make a tremendous mantle. And if you'll go ahead and put some polyurethane or something like that on it. You know, I made a lot of mantles out of what a little bit of walnut trees I had left. Now, the thing you got to do, you got to dry it. It needs to be either kiln dried in a dryer that that a salt mill would have to dry it in, and or you can air dry it. And just that's by putting it out. That's how stave is made for whiskey barrels. Mm-hmm. You know, they cut it and they hang it on wires and they let it air dry for a year. I think a walnut thing, I used mine 3 years. I let mine dry before I went on and cut it to the shape that I would want my mantles in my house to be. But they really have a beautiful design. And, you know, you can pick through it and get the kind you want. You know, you can make walnut cabinets. You can make walnut anything you want. I mean, you can make walnut paneling if you cut it an eighth of an inch thick or a quarter of an inch thick, depending on how thick you want it. Or you could make it a one-inch thick board if you really wanted it in your house. So,
Jerry, what are in the South common trees? I mean, they're not totally foreign to the South. They're out there, maybe not as many as we have pine trees, that make for great-looking designs, but not often found. What I mean, you just mentioned walnut.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my grandmother's house had cypress.
Cypress is a good tree. The only problem with cypress is it's going to turn color on you if you don't go ahead and have it inside and put some polyurethane or something on it.
I'm pretty sure her walls
were
cypress.
It'll turn brown. It'll start out white once you plane it.
Okay.
It'll be really pretty and white.
Plane it.
Yeah, I mean, run it through a planer.
Okay, that's what I thought I heard you say. Yeah. Not paint, but
Paint. No, then later I said paint it with some polyurethane.
Okay.
Just seal it off, you know, put a sealer on it.
Mm-hmm.
And cypress trees, they are pretty. One of the best things from a cypress tree. You know how they have cypress knees, they call them?
Yeah.
They grow up beside a cypress tree. It's kind of the root system that sprouts up and seeks its way into the atmosphere. Into the air, and we used to cut those things and drill a hole from the very bottom all the way out to the very top where the cypress knee comes out the top, and then we'd make a lot of stuff, but the best things we made was lamps, and we'd run all the internal part of a lamp up through the hole that you drilled, and then put a shade on top, and then put a wire at the bottom. And they made great lamps.
Hmm.
So that's another thing cypress is good for, besides the beauty of cypress. A lot of people now, you know, they just like to put cypress up, and they don't paint it, and they'll let it turn brown. You know, I built a really big building one time. It had, 100,000 feet of cypress in it. So you know how big that was. And when I put it up, it was, you know, freshly come from a sawmill where a planer had planed it really smooth. And by the time, I'd say within 4 years, it was brown. You wouldn't know it was the same wood unless you went up and sanded a little bit of it. So anyway, it's, you know, that and the persimmon, it makes a pretty tree too.
Okay, persimmon.
You know, persimmon wood.
What about oak?
You know, well, the oak, you know, it's about 15 varieties of oak, you know. You go from pin oak to water oak to red oak to white oak to you name it, and it's a different type of oak. And it's going to have a different grain. The grain may be, some of the grain will be long and straight. Some will be kind of meandering around, and I like that kind better. You know, the red oak will be kind of more meandering. The white oak will be more straight and wider grooves, depending on the age and depending on how long it's been growing, you know.
All right, Jerry, I'm going to build the most beautiful house.
Yeah.
I only get one of these types of woods to put up for the walls. What do you recommend? Now, money's not a problem.
Money is zero problem. Well, I watch a lot of old Perry Mason movies, shows. Saw one last night. His office has Cypress.
Okay.
And that was 1957. I looked to see what year that was done. It's 57. Then I've seen his same office in 1967. And that same Cypress is in that office. Now, the Cypress there is more of a picky type Cypress. We call a picky type Cypress is a Cypress tree that worms had gotten into. Mm-hmm. And they had made kind of a groove where they drilled a way through, you know. And so it's kind of a groovy-looking thing. Now, picky cypress will cost you a little bit more because it adds a little more ambiance to the situation that you're looking at. You know, not it's not just plain, flat, and it's...
I want something that's conversational.
Well, if it's good enough for Perry Mason's
good enough for me.
You know, it's good enough for me. And I always like it. I notice it every time I see Perry Mason when he kicks back in his nice leather chair in 1957 when I was probably kicking back on a mule or something. Mm. But it really looks good to me, you know.
And how about that?
I like that.
Thank you, Perry Mason. Well, thank you, Jerry Short. We've talked a lot of nut stuff, and we talked a lot of pines and oak and cypress and more persimmons and even some catfish thrown in.
Do you know what a Osage orange tree is?
I've heard of it, never seen it.
All right, it's got three names. Some people refer to it as a Osage orange because it's a big round milky ball that falls off of it, about the size of a softball. They fall off of it. Some people call it a bodock. A bodock is really the official name, you know, I think. You know, so Osage orange is not edible. Even though it's called a horse apple also.
Okay. You know, well, what about the wood for a building?
The wood is really good, but the best wood it is good for is to be a fence post.
Oh.
You put fence post, it's so dang hard, it won't rot. You'd think it's been treated with creosote or penna or something like that, like you would treat a telephone pole, but it hadn't been treated. You know, so we put a lot of those. They're crooked. And, hey, you better put that staple in that son of a gun immediately because that wood gets so hard, it takes a sledgehammer and a really strong guy to swing a sledgehammer, you know, to go ahead and put that barbed wire fence up.
I'll keep that in mind when I'm building my fencing. Hey, Jerry, thank you very much for stopping by.
Oh, man, you're welcome.
Always good and always educational. Hey, well, you know, you never know. In fact, we're going to go somewhere unique next week when we get together.
Okay. Well, I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I think you'll be ready. And we want y'all to be ready for more of the Y'all Show. It's coming up right after this. Thanks for listening. Heather and Jennifer, the Kinleys. That got up to number 7 on the country music chart for this identical twin sisters, the Kinleys. I used to see them around Nashville, and, you know, I'd turn my head when they'd walk down the hall. Not because they were so beautiful, they were. It's because I couldn't tell them apart. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that got their head turned by the Kinleys. I haven't heard from them in a while. I'm not sure what they are up to. But, you know, back in those days, another head turner that I meant to carry this story into our entertainment headlines of the day, but I absolutely left it out, and I apologize. But while we're talking 1990s country music, Shania Twain turning heads as she recently performed in Nashville at Geodis Park. That is the home of the Nashville Soccer Club. And the CEO of NSC has told the Metro Nashville Sports Authority that they had to replace part of their field after a recent Shania Twain concert. That concert was held in June, and it has cost Metro Nashville $350,000 to replace what was damaged on the field. Okay, when I saw the headline, I wasn't sure if Shania fans were going out destroying Geodis Park. Evidently, it was a turf issue, and because of the concert there, it messed up the field. And so the little Nashville soccer team didn't have a pitch to play on. Isn't that sad? You know, they recently got artificial turf just down the road at Nissan Stadium, home of the Titans. For the first time ever, they got an artificial surface this year. So it makes it, I guess, a little easier to put on concerts inside that nice little spot. But yes, Shania, the concert there, tearing up the field there at this location. And oddly enough, it was right there on the same piece of ground that Shania Twain kind of made her debut in Nashville from a performer standpoint, because she was at Fanfare right when her song Any Man of Mine was tearing up the chart back in 1995, and she came out to Fanfare as part of the Mercury Records showcase. And you know what? She didn't perform. She got some kind of vocal ailment, and she didn't either. I don't think she finished her set. I wasn't there that day. But Shania has a little bit of a history with that little piece of ground south of downtown Nashville. The old Tennessee State Fairgrounds is where this is. And her concert, tearing up the place. I bet she tore up the place with some good songs when she performed there in June. I hate I missed it. Let's wrap up this y'all show on this Tuesday edition with Halloween just a few days away and our love of biscuits in the South. I found a recipe at tasteofhome.com called Pumpkin Batch Biscuits. As a contributor to this website says, and her name is Lisa Taylor, she says, I got smart and started making double batches of these moist, fluffy biscuits to meet the demand. My dad loves their pumpkin-y goodness and requests them for Christmas, Father's Day, and his birthday. Thank you, Lisa Taylor. And again, these are for Pumpkin Batch Biscuits. It's a 20-minute prep time and a 20-minute bake time. And you can go to tasteofhome.com and get the full ingredient listing. Ingredients here include flour, sugar, powder, as well as a 3/4 cup canned pumpkin and a 1/3 cup of buttermilk. And you mix it all together, and essentially you're going to get pumpkin-y goodness in a biscuit. Whew. Now, unfortunately for all of you who are watching your calories, these pumpkin-y biscuits are 328 calories a piece, with 17 grams of fat and 40 grams of carbohydrates. So might want to put one of these down after you go by the doctor's office, okay? But a lot of feedback here at Taste of Home about the pumpkin patch biscuit recipe. Candy Rain writes, these biscuits were fantastic. They were light, flaky, and the flavor was delicious. I did add a splash of vanilla extract, a pinch of nutmeg, and a 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. I also doubled the recipe. The dough was a bit wet, so I had to add a little more flour and knead a little longer, but my kids ate them all up and asked me to make some more tomorrow. I will be using this recipe regularly from now on. Again, it's the love of biscuits. We have that love here in Dixie, okay? And it's the fact that we're now in fall, and Taste of Home is where you can go right now. They've got a video even to accompany this recipe, and you can find out how to make pumpkin patch biscuits, the good old PPB from Taste of Home, and it's at that website now. Nothing says Halloween like a pumpkin patch biscuit. How about stick one of those into the trick-or-treaters bucket when they drop by next week? They might actually thank you. And like this lady just said, her kids were asking for them the very next day. That's the true sign. They must be dang good. Well, it's dang good to always be with you here on the show that shakes the Southland. And we have come to the conclusion of this Tuesday broadcast. But, you know, why don't we get back together on Wednesday? How about it? And we're going to have a great time Wednesday when we get together for the Y'all Show, as we'll have not only, hopefully, some conclusion with the U.S. House Speaker dilemma, but we'll also give you a Southern business spotlight for the week. We'll also have on our Wednesday Y'all Show plenty of Southern history, all right here on the program powered by Y'all.com, the Y'all Show.